tanke då att vi ska göra på oss och kolla på att det är ju faktiskt så det är. Without any waste of time, then I will give over to Honorable John Jeffries to take us through the fact basis, and then we will then on the fact basis. Yeah, we start with the main one fact basis, and then we will finish with the other one, everything is successful. But we are not going through this now. We are going through this now and see whether things that have been raised have been incorporated yet, and then we will go in there with this after. Thank you, Honorable John.
Thanks, Chair. Just maybe a recap of the process. On Thursday, the Joint Committee went through the law and we went on to about 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, I think, that evening, 7. Unfortunately, not everybody here now was there at the end. But there were issues raised on a particular point, and we said that the technical committee should then meet on Friday to team things up and check on the wording of those changes. We had said, I'm not sure, I mean, the technical committee has always only been ANC people, I'm not sure why there weren't opposition, but I specifically said on Thursday's meeting that anyone who's available should come. But again, it ended up only being ANC people, the meeting was open. What then happened was that the changes were affected. There was a draft from proof rather from Frida that was then done for Saturday afternoon, and then various people went through them to check on the typos, the cross references, all that kind of thing. And then the new draft, I think, came out this morning. I understand the committee station checked it again further before they sent it out. So this is what we've got before is then the proof of the bill. So you should have then the bill 30D fact amendment that is presented beyond bill 30D. What here we can do now then I think there have been some issues raised around documents not being distributed. And I think the difficulty would have been that, I mean, effectively, this is the version we were working on Thursday. The difficulty was that those typo-type changes were being affected until this morning. So I think I apologize if we hadn't said they shouldn't go out, we hadn't said they should go out. Everybody had, as I said, the opportunity to be there and be part of the process on Friday. If we had been sending our versions the whole time, it may have caused confusion, but anyway, we've got the bill. Effectively, what you have is 30D is the bill we were dealing with on Thursday, with then smaller amendments we can point out the significant ones. Yeah, so that's basically that.
The press has asked me, including Al Jazeera, to tell the opposition party not to run another press conference on the same yet again to litigate the vote. I think Dr. Johnson made a point on your behalf on TV this morning. Shall we move on now?
It was a good piece this morning.
I'm not even reacting to you. Jefferson, what are you want to comment on this point? Leonard Flynn, Jeffries, statement that the opposition party couldn't attend the meeting of the technical committee. There's no duty of the opposition to assist the government or the majority party to get their legislation in order. You with all due respect, I'm not going to assist you this afternoon and tonight when I vote on my amendment. If you with all your assistance of a whole team of technical advisors and legal advisors expect us to come and assist you to draft your vote, you make a serious mistake. That's not how it works. So please do not from the Lucas of say, you could have known if you had attended. It's not necessary for me to attend. I can think of you, of the chair, of the people drafting, because the insights were both in knowing that parts of when you are up to vote. So I'm not taking any blame for none of your positions my experiment. Or taking any blame will not even react to the situation that we didn't do our duty. And that was to attend, because there is no duty on us to attend to you for preparing your vote.
It's fine, I don't think that was responding that. I'm sure Honourable David, you told you think it was the whole itself, the subcode itself, that has members of the position. That is how it is, so that has members of the position. So if they decided not to go on the last vote, I don't think that we need to decide that or what to date that. That's also a limited number.
So the point I was trying to make is the opportunity was there. It was a technical committee of full committee, not just the majority party. The opportunity was there, and when I raised the point, nobody from the opposition said that the point stopped or what it said now. But I think that's not dwell on it. So look, you should have Bill 50D in front of you. I think we will just highlight there are a number of smaller wording changes. I think members can read the bill. I think what I'd like to highlight is the more substantial ones, if at all. So, having said that, I mean, on the month long title, there were, and I can't even remember where there were, some small wording changes made that I don't think of the system. But here I'm guided by email by the meeting. I don't even want to refer to all of those points. I think not the office will have all of those, and there's no meeting guides, you know, we've got capacity repeated twice, that kind of thing. So, just to guide, do you want me to highlight every change or just see the main ones?
Yeah, I think if there is anything that they might say, or things that is raised, that is not discovered, and then they'll be discovered. But I think the main thing is
the So, look, in the long title, there's nothing of significance. Neither on page 3, let me go clause by clause. Clause 1, nothing affects the. Clause 2, nothing affects the. Clause 3 is the chapter, and colleagues will remember we had some discussion on Thursday around the international priority offence. The aspects relating to serious organized crime, serious commercial crime, and serious corruption, that's been moved from the definition of national priority offense and put into taking on the application of the chapter. That's really the only effective change there. Then on the
topic of. Just a question. When we set up the original principles, you're going to do this financial crime, is that correct?
I don't remember that. I mean, what we had was the serious, organized, serious commercial.
Commercial and financial are
the same. I think it was because it was a commercial crime, it was really a kind of serious crime, commercial. Then in 17D on the top of page 4, that's the application clause, and 17DA deals with then the need to establish a directorate. Business of services, prevent, combat, and investigate national priority offences, in particular serious organized crime, serious commercial crime, and serious corruption. And the rest, I think, is no effective changes. So if I can move on, I don't want to, I presume members will stop me when they have issues or want me to go slower. Okay. Then, 17C is the establishment and consolidation. I think the main issue to draw to the attention is 17D2A. We always had the same position that have been told and the wording has been changed accordingly. Effectively, what happens is the appointments are made by the minister in concurrence with the cabinet, and that is how it's used at the moment. The head of the direction should be a deputy national committee now, appointed by the minister in concurrence with the cabinet. I think the rest is largely the same. Commissioner Yarko, particularly on this bill, would you not be able to think I'm giving anything else? But Chair, that's 17D, I don't think there were any real changes. It's not okay. 17E then is security, screening, and integrity measures. The main one was the issue of the integrity measures. I think the security clearance aspect was largely technical, although Commissioner Yarkoff, you might want to just raise some points around the, they were largely technical, but you might want to raise a point. The key one is the further integrity measures, which is under Clause 8. The Minister may prescribe measures for integrity testing of members of the directorate, which may include entrapment, random testing for alcohol, or the abuse of alcohol or drugs, or the use of polygraph or similar instruments to ascertain the sperm or examine in the scientific manner the truthfulness of the statements made by a person. And the samples, body samples taken, they can only be taken by a registered nurse, medical practitioner, and ministers make regulations regarding the confidentiality information. But that was an issue that we had not resolved on Thursday, that we're very interested to look at that if they wanted to come up.
Could I just check here? Could you just tell me what the actual definition is of the current security clearance held by the staff members? And a series in terms of the national security and the temperature, is it different? And if it is the same as this clearance, will their current clearance suffice, or do they then have to, for some reason, have a retrofit? Is that laid out anyway?
Clause 17.2d, security clearance on the required level, sorry, no person may be appointed to the director and then security clearance on the required level, and this is still valid as being issued to the person requesting in terms of the National Security Attendance Act. So my understanding is it was a valid one that is in the fight for the community office.
Okay, it's absolutely correct. In addition to that, one intelligence structure might not actually delete or retract or withdraw security clearance issued by another one. So that, if the clearance was issued by the head of the National Intelligence Agency, it will remain valid and it is recognized in terms of protection for the paragraph B for this purpose. As long as it's still valid and as long as it's on the required level.
How does that apply with sub 6 if you have an NRA screen and sub 6 then the information of the head of the directorate requiring the member to undergo further screening? Would that screening then be by the prime minister who could then overrule the NRA screen?
Chair, of course the re-screening, and that is even possible within the present structure of Section 2 Act of the National Security Intelligence Act. Of course, you need a mechanism always to be able to see if there is a suspicion a person might be involved in the organized crime which creates that suspicion. But then, because it's a member, the person will be a member of South African Police Service, that re-mechanism for that will be done by the crime justice division. But as we pointed out, there is a provision in the Act where, in some instances, the staff might ask the National Intelligence Agency to order the assistance. And normally we would liaise with the original institution that issued it. Of course, if there's clear-cut information that this person is busy with underhand, dealing, etc., there is a duty to actually withdraw that. but these are the results of the fusing of that individual, not really the role of the initial one.
Thank you,
Professor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Not saying that we should make sure confidentiality.
measure the domestic level. Maybe there's no need to have measured, but simply confidentiality, the acceptance thing. That's not what we're doing here.
I think the problem is, if you look at 8A, the minister may prescribe measures for weight equity testing. So that power is given to the minister. It's not a must. That's right. So if that is not a must, then you can't very well have. I mean, I think the point that Diane raised is very valid, but the problem is more a wording thing. You can't say under A, the minister may prescribe measures for integrity testing, and then the minister must prescribe measures for confidentiality. What happens if the minister doesn't prescribe the measures in A? But I don't know about other people. I mean, I suppose you could put it conditional. If the minister prescribes measures under 8A, they must prescribe measures, but it becomes a bit clumsy. But I don't know.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. This specific wording comes from the previous version where we actually, it says from the NPA that we must make provision for so-called normal content as well as content with style. By wording it in this fashion, we actually have both options available without having these separate provisions. So we, if we need the powers, we can ask for it. If we don't need it, we say it's normal content. But it's actually then actually widening the original wording by making provision for both styles.
Yeah, on that point, I think this is correct in terms of you may want the content because of their expertise, their skills and experience, not that they don't necessarily need to come with their powers. So give both options to the community. If the doesn't request, then they've got the expertise, the person's content expertise. But if they do request, then they come with the powers and that's then covered by their community. Okay, can we move to G? I think the word needs change on G from Thursday. Or from H and okay, so can we move to I? I does look more like an I. With an earlier draft, one seventy I. Again, it really was just wording issues. You might see that justice is now just justice and not just constitutional development in cases of positions of changed around what there had been in the past. Again, I don't think there's anything there. Carol, do you care, Carol?
Yeah, thanks. So just on the structural scheme, we spelled out the various different policies. I really think that it was thrown from a project where the previous day that the project guidelines must come to Parliament for approval. So that's why we actually went back to the very good.
Okay, so I've got that the point that specifies, it's more on what to be the material to be
Can I take you back to, I really must, this is a pivotal moment for me, seminar 78.92, I see you've disposed, Commissioner Jacobs, of T-Press. I have no doubt from this magazine that in the next 30 minutes before you can be back to T-Press. But all I care about, until I'm really chair of the Justice Committee, which I don't know for how long, you are never in the Justice But congratulations, Commissioner Jacobs.
Those of you who are not here will not understand.
Yeah.
Okay, you were not here. First one up there, it was defrayed, and
it took 7 weeks.
somebody was at the news of course, that you could see the same language that made comments about using previous bills from the Justice Committee as examples. I won't say as examples of what, but anyway, maybe this is what we.
We should welcome healthy people. Quite on the contrary, we'd like to condemn. We would be for all these roses on Thursday. In our report to Parliament, we're going to add a further talk about Professor Tito. But we'll deal with that wish.
As I recall, one of the major issues we had was on the fact that the Ministerial Committee never met. I don't see any suggestion or determination of us saying they have to meet X times in a year. Basically, it's exactly as it was. We all know the committee never met, and that's why we're here where we are today. We had agreed, as far as I knew, before I had to say to Germany and back, that we were going to instruct this committee in some way to meet regularly. Otherwise, we're exactly where we were before we started this entire debacle.
Yeah, I mean, I think others can add, but the change that came in the course of last week, last 2 weeks, in fact, was we decided, you may not have noticed, we decided not to create a committee. We felt that that was the problem. Committees get created, and they can't find the time to meet. So now the president shall designate them. So an existing committee can be designated, can be the cabinet subcommittee on justice, crime prevention and security, it can be another committee. And that's why also the Minister of Safety and Security is the chair of the committee, and after the case, the Minister is not the chair of that committee. We felt that in that way, we would be addressing the problem of too many structures of social media. And we then decided not to be prescriptive as to how many times it should be. It would be up to Parliament, or the committees in Parliament, to ask for reports as to is this committee meeting. And the responsibility is now with the President, because it's the President who has to designate that committee. But the feeling was, in the discussion over the last fortnight, was make use of an existing committee, set out what it should do. But, and you'll see it, I think, even for the operational committee. And we did put it very clear that the class functions on the operational committee. That is a new committee that is being created. But because it's an existing one, we felt that it would be sufficient to spell out the functions and then for Parliament in its oversight to ask for reports about how often it's meeting. The kind of thing one could see as a potential regular question in Parliament.
Can we just add on, so to be clear, I thought this happened towards the latter part of your going off, actually. But I also mentioned that in exchanges with that and our department, we established that there's a committee. It's not secret about it. There's an interdisciplinary committee every 2 weeks that looks, it's within the JCCF cluster, that's why it's there. It is every 2 weeks. It looks at what is called serious crime, like terrorism as well. Secondly, more often than the interministerial committee provided for in the APA Act. Now, the feeling was that what we could do, this being society, I think we should put down a report that we expect this committee to lead very often, and in particular, oversight of the reporting job too. Maybe we need to strengthen that. I think it should write about. What we have also discussed, Diane, maybe you want to know, some of the features of the model that the majority party opted for, and we discussed in our report, we couldn't put into the bill, but we put into the report, and when we think of the SAP bill overhaul, we need to come back to those issues. So the features of the model that the majority party opted for, not every aspect of every feature, could be put in the bill, because we need to think of the prescriptive. But on the other hand, it depends on your committee, Comrade Maggie, and what you do to the oversight. And can we have seen, just note that I think when we look at the report, can we add something and strengthen provisions about the need for this committee to meet regularly, this ministerial committee, but even more importantly, need for this state and security committee to call it to Parliament to account.
Can I move to Jay? Okay, then the operational committee, some changes were made on two. I mean, firstly, just to say that committee remains, and we have put in a provision. Again, there was quite a lot of debate. Do you say four times, three times, twice, whatever? We've just put meters regularly as required to fulfill its function. Because we felt to start saying it shall meet four times a year is quite mechanical. Maybe in one quarter it should meet three times. It's a general obligation rather than saying it must meet so many times. There is the Schedule of Justice and Constitutional Development that is defined in the Public Service Act, I think, so that's why it's not the Justice, but Justice and Constitutional Development. The main changes were under two, the Operational Committee shall review, monitor, and facilitate the support and assistance of all respective government departments and institutions directors, as well as the Commons to direct the various problems which arise regarding such support and assistance, perform the functions directed by the Ministerial Committee, report to the Ministerial Committee on departmental assistance to and cooperation with the Directorate, and at the point I've raised already of the means regulators required to fulfill the functions. And I perceive in the parliamentary
You know, the two chairs are just saying now, we just want to alert the full committee. I think this is an excellent provision, and the improvements that came from Friday are not very changing, they're very well. And really, it's us as Parliament now that must oversight over this operational policy and its political principles. But this is an extremely strong condition. It was not there in the original song. And I really think in our response we should again see this command that we made to respond. I think we should emphasize it for all the time. This is a very, very good, and I think it will deal with some of the problems we had with the DSO not functioning and especially not being had oversight over. So I really think for the future, you know, this process and making a few jokes, I can't repeat those jokes here from these because, but if you don't function here, the Collective Banking and I have a really decisive view on what should happen to all of you who don't perform here. And whether it's legal or not, we don't care. We will just do it. So we won't say publicly, but we will have our own report. So we'll say the report that we want to disclose. Thanks.
Here then on public oversight, as colleagues will know, the issue was Parliament is meant to be performing oversight. How do you, don't want to oversubscribe, effectively a lot is there which should be known already. The key changes was on the policy guidelines, looking at number 4 and number 5. I think the 4 was there before. The minister shall submit to Parliament any policy guidelines or procedures for approval, the approval is new. And then to prevent a blockage, if guidelines submitted that is not approved within 3 months shall be deemed to be approved. You can have a situation where things sit in Parliament and don't approve. So there would be, we had a fair amount of debate around it, there would be automatic approval after. If Parliament wants more time, then the effect of what it would be to specify these guidelines are not approved. That doesn't mean that Parliament must take 3 months to deal with an issue. It's more a mechanism to basically ensure that Parliament doesn't hold things up, but it is not safe for Parliament to veto effectively. Guidelines are referred to as guidelines in 79.2 of the ministerial policy guidelines regarding punishing the directors, policy guidelines in connection with national priority offences, policy guidelines for referring to the directors of offences, the other guidelines. So that's the main one.
Hello, this is just English. It obviously has to be any policy guidelines that are not.
The 5 after the second line of 5 of Parliament that are not.
That are not.
I thought what we said on Friday was that the procedures are an example of that. And do we really want to approve procedures? If you look at what they've got, they incorporate into the rhythm section in 171.2. The best of my recollection, we say the procedures are, why does Parliament need to approve of procedures? We have to approve of guidance. And I hope we agree on Thursday, we separate procedures from guidelines. And if we go back to 117.2, you see, I unfortunately only looked at channel at the Friday section, Friday for the right one. And there it was separate, as I remember, but maybe we decided this day to make procedures also subject to problems. So why is that the case?
Yeah, just on
the
policy guidelines,
the
policy guidelines are not approved. But yeah, I think we
refer
to the
MPA book. Yeah, look, what it is, if you look at on page 6, 17.2, procedures that your co-chair is talking about is procedures to coordinate activities with the directorate and other relevant departments and institutions. So those procedures. We can exclude them. Because the other 3 are policy, specifically policy guidelines. I don't think it's a big issue. So I think it's I don't think Carol was with the technical and other people that
very decisive view, but if you ask me to offer one, tentatively, I have to look at the procedure. It's really. Look, I don't go in short. Let me think. I would go.
Can we have some input through your chair to particularly the staff on point? I don't know what they have.
Okay,
they don't
say anything
that we can. Chair, I think maybe the procedures relate more to operational issues that might be solved. And I think that will be covered in the reporting process on the activities of the committee. I think what needs to be approved, I think I agree with saying that maybe we can do A, B, and C for the approval by Parliament and the more operational part of the coordination part of the board.
Yeah, I mean, there's no opposition, and what I would suggest is that before the Minister shall present to Parliament any policy guidelines to delete or procedures, any policy guidelines referred to in section
then the council president meets on without the national commission. And the request from parliament goes through to the minister, from the minister to the national commission. So of course it is true, you will know that they are in parliament.
What we could do is that I think the chairperson is like, we do it in practice. What you're doing is a procedure. For example, as you know, we have DDGs appeared before committees about the DDGs. So what we could do to satisfy whether or not it's okay is the report of Parliament would just refer to that agreement and say that the law of proceeding will be passed. That we're calling the head of the OCU to say the process of inviting or whatever will be done by the National Commission. Something like that. That may be a compromise to the report of Parliament. Sorry? Yeah, but I mean, just clarify that. This issue, by the way, for the jurisdiction, it was discussed at some length, and I remember I raised this in one place with somebody else, too, and the reply from Comrade Maggie and or NME and or I can't recall who from Safety and Security is that they do in fact do it. And it's raising an issue that's more generic. Normal affairs wouldn't have this issue, but whether they can bring provincially to like a group of DGs or some affairs to the National Assembly without the DG being present and so on. So I think the way to deal with it is something that is available, some are not. It is being done. This is the norm by which Safety and Security operates. I would propose to deal with it in the report, but if it was changed, the majority would decide.
Can I
make
one question?
Yes.
Can you just clarify
the procedure, when you want to invite from this commission of the past to come and appear before Parliament, you don't write to the commission of commission that comes from Parliament. You write to the minister. And the minister writes from the national committee. That national committee, portfolio committee, wants to invite from this commission to come and come to the next to Parliament. And then they do anything. I think the procedure is what I'm talking about. Whether the National Commission is here or not, we are dealing with the provincial commissioners who are here. That the National Commission has to present the Republic of the National Commission. That's how it is. So, tell our country to the National Commission.
Okay, what I would volunteer to do is can we leave this for now, flag it, and then we can have some discussion outside. If we need to make changes, we can come to those changes. Okay, then if there's nothing more for the
following,
I'm going to try and explain, I'm just going to make a proposal.
that if we drop the word if, say, if an initial mention about whenever, you substitute if with whenever, he or she is not available, we scrap the provider in total. And you just add to attend any meeting of the operational committee. If the sentence would be an official at the rank of a regional assistant commissioner or chief director, may be designated on a permanent basis to represent any official mentions and past, whenever he or she is not available to attend any meeting of the operational committee.
Yeah, I think we could discuss the issue there from the technical committee was that. We always have this proviso that more junior people could attend from the level of chief director upward or committee of commissioner. Because we didn't want to have a committee that was only the head commissioner in the WP. So that was the intention. What we don't want to have as well was that if the heads were available, they shouldn't be precluded from attending. And my worry with what Mr. Delano is proposing is that it goes against that intention. That if the DG of Justice or let's say DG of Finance, DG of Home Affairs wants to designate a particular official DG of Immigration, they can designate them and they should be the main person who goes. But if on a particular issue the media of Home Affairs wants to arrive as well, that's also fine. So I don't think that Mr. Lama's proposal goes along with that. But maybe through you, Chair, you could ask
every time seeing a different official and there is no continuity in our whole group, they can really become ineffective. Mm-hmm. But there may be issues that are serious enough to warrant the presence of the person who is normally designated as well as the head. And that's maybe, we will be just in the original way.
It just also made me, I thought you also wanted the head of finance, the head of the media finance, also the honest. I mean, we've got the head of financial intelligence center, separate unit, we don't have anyone from Treasury. And I just want to check, I think that may have been an issue in the past.
Actually, it might have been an omission. On the other hand, if I look at the committees, the ACBs, etc., I'm not sure whether the Minister of Finance is actually sitting on all those committees. But I think the D part actually might suggest that any other minister is designated from task to time by the president, so actually any other minister can be involved as well.
The ACB is saying the Minister of Finance is going to be cabinet committee. Involved money. The other committees I don't know, but I just think given the issue of, that's the ministerial committee, and any other minister can be designated. This is the operational committee, and you've just got to get my seat and really consolidate, which I think is something we may need to look into. I'm not sure what happened on that. I would think, should we not be, maybe we can share it after lunch before we both to come and get clarity what we want. But it would probably be the DG of Finance, the Treasury, and the Commissioner of Staff.
I don't mean to discuss the staff has to be there, but the staff has been good.
Yes, here we can come with a wording that's true.
Right.
Then if I can go on so thank you for the lineup for bringing the time. Thank you. I can go back to the complaint mechanism. That was one that we did develop a bit more in the technical committee.
colleagues that were in on Thursday will remember, the problem was making sure that you've got a number of structures that are there to investigate the disease, making sure that they don't overlap. So what we've effectively done, I mean, firstly on the issue of the retired judge, there was some discussion in the technical committee of should it be a sitting judge or the inspecting judge for prisons can be. But the view was that if you have a sitting judge and it makes findings, may conflict with, it may cause problems because these are cases that are likely to come up before the court. So that's why it was kept as only a retired judge. That's something we can relook at here, indeed. Then we provide number two, that the performance of the function does not derogate, does not derogate from the power of the ICC to investigate complaints. So even though you've got this judge, the ICC is in investigate. We've put in an exclusion on matters falling under three matters falling under the jurisdiction of the Inspector General of Education. You've got the Inspector General of Intelligence to investigate intelligence matters. We don't want to know that. And then the retired judge may receive complaints in a prescribed form. From any member of the public, which should provide evidence of serious unlawful infringement of the right. The basic thing there was to stop every person being investigated by the directorate from running rushing off the judge and problems from the up. And the judge then, under five, may refer it to be dealt with by these other bodies, the Secretary of the ICD, the National Commission, the Director. And then the other was at 11, he firstly makes a complaint in terms of the section, shall not be entitled to use the section to establish whether an investigation against him or her, nor be entitled to any delay in hearing the determination of such investigation on the basis of such complaint to be made.
Thanks. When we discussed this initially, I think that you have a problem with the fact that there is no room to maneuver here if, in fact, the workload is overwhelming for an individual. If it's necessary to call in a second judge, even for a limited period, 6 months, there's no provision in here that would allow for that. If this person receives 50 complaints and can't cope and they're quite intensive in the investigation, you might find the delay is 3 and now 9. And there's just nothing in here that allows for the extension and perhaps pulling in of another judge or who just doesn't see now, and I think it has to be detailed.
Thank
similar concern, just given that we should not make provision in the regulation to assist that judge with secretarial or administrative staff, or it is just independent of one person doing all the work and stuff, because clearly you will need some backup staff and what will be used. So one needs to probably think of in the regulation the line of minutes that we set up administrative staff in the class.
Jeremy, you discussed it in the technical team. I'm very interested in coming up and you said that it could be the avenue for the investigation. With regards to the issue of a judge maybe being inundated with complaints, when the judge reports to Parliament and the minister, it's enough for the judge to be free or she is free to say to Parliament being inundated with cases, I need further assistance in whatever way. So that was the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think on the support, I mean, obviously the judge is not going to be, we provided for a prescribed form. Obviously the judge is not going to be sitting at home and their own phone out. So it wouldn't have to be an administrative setup. I don't think you need to prescribe that. I don't think that needs to be a regulation, but I think that needs to be done. I think the official can direct me if I'm wrong. On the question of whether you have one or more, I would have thought it's more the question of the backup that they get. I mean, remember you have less, or you've changed now, that you had one public protector, the whole country. We then legislated on deputy public protectors, but that didn't include the public protector then setting up provincial offices and provincial heads and things like that. So that I think deals with the one judge or more aspect. And then as far as the administrative support, I mean obviously they don't have it. It's a question of do you need to to empower that on legislation or would that be assumed? But I think we can hear from, I mean we could put in a provision of the minister to make regulations regarding the offices of administrative support. But is that necessary?
Because the title of the piece says complaints and mechanism. It's not a division, it's not an office, it's not a bureau. It's merely a mechanism which actually is nothing at all. It could in fact be simply, well, there was a higher land and you can work from home and that's it. I think that the actual title just precludes it from giving the any impact, any weight.
Yeah, you would call that in the heat of the principles, I think there was a cross-party consensus. If you look at the Model 4 that's been mandated, that the majority party to go towards certain adjustments. Now, in the report of Parliament, and this is where I just sit down for a meeting, so I'm guided by KPMC. My understanding is that because of the specific nature of current crime and the challenges that arise, we have set up this unit. But when you assess the security or overhauling the entire SAPS Act, you're going to look at keeping up the ICT, looking at whether somebody either leaves that others are assessing security. In my notes of exit up, I should not care, maybe others will be able to say, suggested maybe we look at an inspector general of some sort for the entire SAPS. You see, what we discussed across the analysis, I mean, said was that we should not, although we recognize the specialist nature of the priority crime prevention, but we also have to recognize that a risk victim can also have a case of abuse by the same result. And we also said that we should avoid this provision being used by the most backward, atavistic, organized criminals to hold our legal processes. And they tried to tighten that. So in the report, in the council, I don't know how far you want to go with this thing because it's subject to a review over the next 3 years or so. In other words, in short, this is a contingent measure for now. It may become a generalized one, some modified form for all abuse by the SAC, political bias by the crime unit that is not organized crime. Let's say, what crime units you've got? Let's say, dealing with children, crime against children. They can also show the political biases and so on. So when we're discussing provisions in the bill, it is a guidance. Because I don't think this is a final provision. Maybe we should make it clear in the report that we've done before. In the report that we're about to look at in a moment.
Look, it's something new. It's something in terms of the it is quite important. But at the same time, we do not want a duplication with the existing complaint structures. So reading the judgment would show that it would be fairly high-level issues of infringement of rights by people being investigated, serious unlawful infringement. And it was also open to members of the directorate who are complaining of political interference. But Chair, through you, I don't know if I can just ask the league, if the minister wants to appoint a secretary, would they be able to do that? I mean, for the judge, or any staff of the judge, or would we have to make a provision, an empowering provision, enabling the minister to set up the immediate administration?
I'm sure there's other provision that's actually been provided for the office in this regard.
For example, if you look at the appeal court for the satisfied answer, it's actually all the administrative personnel assisting the judge that has been appointed is created from the without the act providing for that infrastructure. In the Correctional Services Act, the judge says there are some provisions for infrastructure for that area. It's really, I think, a matter of policy that everybody wants to include it. But I don't think if it's not sitting here that it cannot be provided for. Secretaries and other support staff can actually be provided for. Then there's, of course, also the in subsection 8, that the judge shall be entitled to all reasonable assistance by a member. And sometimes, I can imagine in specific cases, the judge might even ask the staff for a staff member to be very selective.
What sort of provisions is that if, for example, the judge is for a work and there's a substantial complaint that comes from Cape Town? Presumably, the people or person making lodging the complaint needs to sit and discuss the matter with the judge. The transport implications. Is that all for, I don't see the person trying to work with their hands tied behind the back. They have to have every possible assistance, but it's really going to be financial. And will they have the right to then say to people, come to me, come and sit in my closed office, and let's talk to us through to determine the veracity of the allegation? They can't really do that on the telephone.
If support can be given without having to stay to fight, then I think it's covered. And obviously, if the reason we've gone for a judge is somebody of a particular nature, a person beyond reproach, a person who's got a legal gravitas, etc., etc., if they find that no matter whether we put in the political support or not, they're not getting the support, the need for it, the bonds, etc. If something like that makes a noise, it carries more weight. So that's why they're there. So I don't know if we need to over-regulate on it, but I think as long as they can be given, or it's assumed that they will be given support, and it's not going to be a problem
Yeah,
she's basically raising that these bodies of the judge may
receipt of a complaint, investigate that complaint, or refer it to be dealt with by others. Is everybody happy with that? Okay, then, clause 4 is amending the regulation section of the SAP Act, and it is specifically to list the issues provided for in this bill, the minimum trade regulation on. So, it's basically taking out where we said in this bill, the minimum trade regulation, it listed then under the new EE sub A in the SAP Act regulation. Clause 5 is that amendment to the schedule, which goes into the whole definition of priority crime. That's clause the last man who's hand here.
Can I take you back for a second? To top of page 8, we talk about the member of the public or a member of the director who can provide evidence. I think we're a little bit concerned that it's a bit vague what it's meant by that, and maybe just to put up as a point of suggestion that there is a in the NPA Act a provision that says you can provide it under oath or affirmation and provide the grounds on which your suspicion is based and the nature of the suspicion, the grounds on which it is based, and any other information that's relevant. But I'm not sure that the wording we are using here is one that's capable of any legal clarity right now. So I'm just arguing maybe that's because of it.
Yeah, is that not why we put the mayor's chief complaint in a prescribed form and manner? So surely that the minister can then prescribe that, okay, if you make a complaint, you can make it under oath. The idea of the evidence, and if you remember it, we looked at the word proof on Friday itself, that was too over. But to provide something substantial, but I think the main thing is it not sufficient to put, because it's going to be regulated, there will be regulations as to how people can complain, does that not cover it? Does that cover your why? I've seen you have a caucus with some other members of the committee and staff. Does that cover that kind of thing? Carol, does that cover you?
Thank you, Chair. Just a correction in item 5. Any offence is certainly just the terms of the Convention of Organised Crime Act from 1998.
Then the other main part and last main part of this bit is the transitional provision. Maybe to say that when you will see with the NPA amendment bill that the provisions relating to the special investigators has been dealt with under that bill. But it's basically the sixth date. On that sixth date, which will be a date set by the president and the president, all the powers performed by the special investigators will be performed by the directorate. There's then an enabling provision in effect for the investigation of the directorate the investigation of the directorate conditional provisions of both bills at the same time. I think that will care.
Beyond that, because in the fact book, you have 17G, and I want to start with the 30 book. 17G says that the remuneration allowance and other conditions of service to the lending directors from the regulation in terms of section 24. So it seems to me one knows beyond this cross-reference, what we ought to do is to, in a sense, protect the conditional. The transitional arrangement effectively confers the fact that the services are not in the language that I'm suggesting, which is that in the 3, 4, 5 would be as follows. For so long as the remuneration announcement and other conditions of service, that's the language of 7G, of those transfers to the South African Community Service under section 43A2 of the NPAA, are more favourable than those determined under section 17G of this Act, section 43A3 of the NPAA Act will prevail. So in other words, 24G applies to the terms and conditions, subject to those conditions were more favorable for those that come across. And that's why I say that probably what we need to do is see this wording, like see the wording together with the wording that has been proposed in respect of 43A of the NPAA.
Yeah, my worry is, when Kevin raised the point, my worry about the cross-referencing is it then creates a possibility of confusion. And do this even actually
make sense? I think for the existence of 24G, prohibiting me, it now becomes necessary and it's not purely informative provision. It's context is saying you give the power under 24 for 17G. You give power under 17G, but the external conditions in the direction of the terms of section 24 of the statute. At the same time, you're saying in the NPA Act that people will be transferred, but be transferred to terms and conditions of employment that are no less favorable than those that are applicable immediately before the success. And I think you really do have to when you articulate the situation.
Yes, can I just say this? So this is the political value is what we want. I don't think we want to be caught up in the technicalities, and between our finishing the committee and our voting, say 2 hours later or so, once we finish, I think 2 hours would be enough. We should finalize this matter. I was asking for a break to see my main concern, as has been a concern of many members of the two committees, is that we have provisions in the original sample that said that people, in terms of the Labour Relations Act and so on, they would not be taken without their consent into the new unit. That Labour Relations dispensation we found to be wonderful. In fact, our computer has been one of the key examples of the Bowler case filing. So all we wanted to do was just ensure, and maybe met the DSO in the court, they were concerned about this amount of allegations. All we want people to know is that those provisions that we've deleted, and there are several of them, are in some form or another in the NPA or this form. We're not opening up any place. And JP told me last night, he thinks it's unnecessary because it's clumsy. Why don't we put in the NPA book? So if you want to see what happens to the DSO, look at that. Now I said, that's really unnecessary, and I put the phone down. I have no time, you know, I don't have anything to do with that. Now, the problem is it's a political thing. What helps me say to open up some complex technical issues. So, can we mandate that our leader? To the extent it is consistent with our political need to communicate that people will be moved in terms of the Labour Relations Act and the provisions in regards to that have been deleted yet in the other bill, do it to the extent it's going to cause complications with the topic. Okay? And then in our report of Parliament we have said some things and hopefully, you know, millions and millions of working class people out there read our report. So hopefully everybody will know that it's the report. But I really don't need to open up complex technical issues. And can't we mandate JPMC to meet the doctors we talked about? They can't remember the simple provisions that refers to maybe our consent to those issues. Let's try it.
I have a
insert.
and once you in that sack, you won't have promotion for 5 years. Although that would stop, that is really high in the minds of the staff who are contemplating actually making this move, which could in fact be suicide as far as their career goes. I wonder if we should extend it, because it does say it does not interrupt their continuity of employment, etc., including pension benefits and privileges. But I think we must make it quite clear also does not interrupt their ability to progress within the institution. Because this is actually going to be something that they need assurances on, because this is one of the great kids. They're actually threatened with their career being turned.
The problem isn't true. I mean, I have gone on to the NDA one, and that's the issue. So I think we can't finalize this until we've dealt with the vote. So I don't know if I can quickly finish this.
Yeah.
And
I think with the understanding that the committee is mandating you to put a cross reference. If it can't be done, it's based on what's coming up. And several cross-references that have also done issues with. No. We're in the final stages now, so we have to be clear to you what your mandate is. Thank you.
Maybe you can come and make sure you get the mandate. Look, it's just really two more sections of the next personnel, so we'll come back to six. Okay? And six stages as well. The section three, I mean, we can look at it again, but the section three, six sections, the next term of the commission, section three of this act. Section three is the chapter, so it was the establishment, but we can look at, I see other people putting the face, and we can look at whether that is the appropriate terminology. But under the connection of the personnel, so remember in the main body of the law, you've got the existing, what will happen normally when people get recruited by the unit. This is the transitional selection, and that is National Commission of Appointing Selection Panel, which will include a representative of the NPA, and it will be people from the Special Investigators of the DSO, people who were in the Organized Crime Unit, people who were in the Commercial Crime Unit, any other member of the service, the added technical committee, any ministers and support personnel employed by the DSO, because A is only talking about the Special Investigators. We had some debate in the technical committee around should the head of the, if you look at the normal selection procedures, the head who recommends here is this panel, but we felt that if we start saying that the head who recommends everybody is going to be too burdensome on the establishment. So they will advise the National Commission on the selection criteria to be followed. The selection appointment will be subject to tax act with police, if they are police members or public service act if they're not members of that. So that again is partially provision of transitional. So again I want to say I leave it for now and come back to 6 and 7, so that's what it is, what it needs to be done. And then Chair 8 is no change. The joint board and implementation team takes your team is making changes there. And neither would be online. But yeah, that's the goal. I would indicate if we come back to 6 and 7 after we've dealt with the end today.
It says the head of the unit, that by the National Commission selection criteria. Does this presuppose the head of the unit will be decided on before anybody moves? Well, I'm not sure.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Can we move to NTA? So there's two versions, the committee amendments, the A version and the B version. We should have two versions saying National Property Amendment Bill. I think they deal with the B version if that has all down, which is across the A version. Look, the changes basically, I'm looking at the D version. Now, to say that the NTA bill is actually steady, we're not going to have special investigators anymore. We're taking out sections relating to the power of the president to appoint and would have to be by debate is still there. But that's something that the executive really needs to look at. So the report to Parliament was going to be chair, if you remember, the minister urgently needs to look at this. The problem with the whole thing is that the power is under Section 28 of the NPA Act. To question people and powers that we very much still want to remain. And powers that exist under other legislation, prevention of terrorism, and the anti-corruption legislation. And their powers that we are bringing into the staff of NPO, which is organized crime unit, that the investigators can approach. So you've got a particular crucial clause in section 28, giving these powers to sit in a chapter on investigating directors. So the whole thing is a bit clumsy. The intention, so if you look at page 1 of the D version, and 1B, they're taking out the head of directors of special operations because they won't work anymore. But they really need director of 13 and 31 designated by the national director to conduct an investigation in terms of section 38 and response to a request in terms of section 17(3) of the SAS Act. So we've included extended directors to cover that. Now I know there were still concerns I think from relating to are we actually doing already unintended consequences? But maybe to ask Hoffmeyer at the moment who enjoys, who exercises the Section 28 powers? Are they directors of public prosecution or are they or who exercises them at the moment?
What the law provides for is that these powers are exercised under the authority of a director of public prosecution. So the DSO at the moment, it would be either the head of the DSO or an investigating director in the DSO would supervise. They don't physically exercise the powers themselves. So most of the powers would be assigned to investigators. They would be designated by the director to exercise the power. Some of the powers, and particularly the more intrusive ones, like the questioning under oath, would be assigned to normally to a senior prosecutor to ensure that there's adequate legal supervision over the exercise of those powers. But you must remember that the DSO doesn't have normal policing powers. So many of the things that are done by an investigator at the moment is done in terms of the Section 28 powers. So most of the powers we're talking about in Section 28 would now be exercised by the statute investigators, either just as part of their normal investigative powers, but they could also be given the power to do certain things. But I think we're largely retaining this provision here to deal with the questioning of the oath power, which are more inclusive and legally vulnerable, or legally sensitive, I should say, powers that need to be exercised under the order of the senior legal official position.
Okay, then Chair, basically that was the one main amendment. The rest is there haven't been any changes, except the key one is the, if you look at page 5 of the B version of the bill, page 3 of the A version, the transitional alteration, and that's really the main piece of it. Now, we had worked in on Friday technical committee an eminent labor law lawyer who was told it had something to do with the drafting of the Labor Relations Act, and what's in the bill law copied before you was what was proposed there after discussion. But there are changes that are being proposed on a two-page document which has been given our secretary. It's got draft basis provisions and it starts with sub 2. So these are then being tabled to replace those provisions that are already there. But basically, so you need to read the two together. There's a general cross-referencing the FAST Act, then B is the fixed date determined by the president by proclamation. On the fixed date, any person who reports as a special investigator is transferred to staff and becomes a member of staff, and such admin and support personnel employed by the DSO may agree upon between the national director and the national commissioner may be transferred. So on this fixed date, the investigators will move over together with administrative support personnel and maybe agree upon. Your Chief will maybe just take, I see your I'm not thinking of the last of the start of the document, but maybe if you can take us through this two-page document which fits in
The difficulty that you have at a conceptual level is that you engage in a transfer with consent, and the difficult issue is what happens if someone doesn't consent. Now, normally, if someone doesn't consent, then the business stays where they are, but that's not what the policy is. The policy is that there shall be no investigator remaining inside the MPA, special investigator. And so we enforce the instruction in such a way that to meet, I think, the requirements of Section 23 of the Constitution. In other words, the transfer is a fair labor practice. And in this way, what I've tried to do, and in fact, done in the original bill that the federal parliament, was to ensure that the federal commission of employment and the commission of service, all of those things would be carried across. And insofar as the consent provisions are concerned, that if one doesn't consent, then that would end in termination. And then in order to ensure that termination is fair, one provides for severance pay, which is equal to the severance pay that is currently at least the minimum amount, which is the severance pay that I refer to in the document. And secondly, that the employee needs to offer a reasonable alternative elsewhere in the public service. So effectively, the person has really, I've
Thank you.
paying a certain package or it's not a usable alternative position, but that then is dealt with in terms of the Labour Relations Act. And I must say that it might be more advisable, I think, just to allow this to be dealt with by the Labour Court, because the Labour Court, in fact, does deal with retrenchment issues. And that change I suggest to make that is that industries arising from interpretation and application of the section for the jurisdiction of the Labour Court. And then all the labour related issues have nothing else to there. It, I think it is the more appropriate form of the public service that will make the answer.
Detrimental to the period in which it will take to actually implement that.
Thank you.
Knowing whether you will be
report with all your content and go to a government department. And maybe there's a way we can do a report. We can say that we should try to assist them come up with that screening process coming forward. I understand what you said about the difficulties of timeline, but we need to retain those skills to come up, and we need to find a mechanism. The other alternative is that the employer, the investigator at this stage said, well, he doesn't want to go to SAP, and then there's another process of going to, by the minister, to another department. But does that necessarily exclude him at a later stage, saying, well, now I want to go to SAP because I'm being screened or something, I've been accepted into the minimum. So there's various scenarios here, but if we try to put ourselves in the investigator's position now, we want to keep that capacity. How can we assist them to make an informed decision in terms of that? I don't know, say, if you are able to assist with that draft in the report or something, or is there anything from you cover the labour law to the professor? But to assist a person practically in that situation to make a decision, he wants to be kept in the unit, but he can't be assured that he will be selected. How can he make that informed choice at this stage?
We have raised before the issue about selection process, and I think it's not an issue that we've been able to get agreement with that yet. But you know, I think our view is strongly that it would maximise our chances of persuading people to go if they know before the time where they are going. I thought our understanding in our meeting last week was that the law would at least leave it open, that it would be practical to do the selection process than it can be done before the transfer. But I think that is something that still needs to be clarified. I've only seen Elton, I may not call him professor, draft this morning, but just in terms of the Roman 1 and Roman 2 at the top of the second page, I'm not sure if it's material, not being a medical expert, but there may be no offer that can be made to people in terms of Roman law 1 or 2. You know, there may be no other alternative position that can be offered. So that the offer in a sense would be the package. So I'm not sure if it changes anything materially, but some of the wording subsequently depends on that word that might just need to be tied up. And I just say to him that on the first page we've got two subsections too, so some of the cross references from the I feel the old subsection one will be used at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think those issues are covered. I mean, obviously people are free to find out in the city. But basically what is being done is that sub 2, 3 and 4 from the printed version of the role come out replaced by the what is here though is you've got two sub two. Second sub two becomes three and three becomes four. To clarify that point. And then we need to go on to five on the printed version as well. So I think what I would suggest here is that members look at really have anything to say on labour matters. But I think I think it's clear there wasn't really any disagreement in the technical committee, but I would suggest over lunch people could read those provisions. Can we then move to sub 5?
Sorry, the petitions are still open from what Woody has said. That there's still there was disagreement, and surely over lunch the technical Woody can get
where you raised the issue that the law would be open, that appears as a chance. The members have to make a decision. They've got to make a decision if they're going to get it appears as and that decision has to be made, and then there's no guarantee that they will be accepted in the decision. So they've got to make that decision. And I'm sure that you would say that is going to be open, but the process of screening will take place, and then they'll be able to take that decision. Am I misunderstanding something that I've said? This is a crucial issue relating to the investigation, and particularly in light of what you said when we visited them. If I can just get clarity on that, I appreciate it. The NPRIP then, I'm satisfied, but this, to me it seems that it's closed, it's not an open issue. That is a question that choice is not there for the investigator. They have to make a decision to go at risk that they would not be accepted into the unit. Otherwise, they will then, I would rather not go to the new unit, I'll go to SARS or something else. And we've used that investigator capacity.
I've told you to scroll over that the embassy has a master state connection under the BAT Act on state base. Well, that's still a mistake. You haven't specified the BAT on state base before this happened, that it's useful for, although we haven't specified that, it's useful over the BAT saying. But yeah, so maybe that's something we can clear up over lunch time outside. Okay, then can I go to sub 5, please, any decisions, directions issued by the employer remain applicable as the information is within the not to be part due to the main relation to the other decisions more considering as far as I am. Members of the prosecution authority, six relates to the prosecutors, those are not going over, they continue to be employed in the office in that area, that's the prosecution office in the investigation. Seven is the amendment that does affect the validity of any investigation performed by the DSO before 6 days. So that's basically stop at the situation where after the act is passed for the pending investigation, where the validity of decisions are taken to channel the challenge. Then eight is a crucial one, is investigation by the DSO that pending before 6 days must be transferred to and continued by the Director of Authority Crime Investigation in accordance with the procedures determined by the Minister of Justice in consultation with the Minister of State and Security after consulting the National Director and the National Commissioner. So it's basically investigating the proceedings, or the investigation that the DSO are busy with before the 6 days must be transferred to the new director and continued by them. And the Minister of Justice would together with the Minister of State and Security and consulting the two heads work out the procedure for how those transfers would take place. The one thing that is not there is maybe open to interpretation as to when the transfer takes place. And surely we should be saying that pending immediately before the 6 days must be transferred, must be on the 6th date of the transfer. So it's exactly clear when the transfer takes place. And I think that's a gap in the thing.
As you said, you see the actual cases being transferred. These are cases that come to staff who've been investigated and working on them, say, 5 or 6 years. Now, what if those staff are not taken into the unit? What happens to the case? Are you suggesting that people who've never read one word of a 6 year long case now come in cold? I actually don't think that's permissible. I'm about to say looking for that suggestion that what
obviously the other option which was looked at was the work proposal of the DSO to the NCAA to treat an investigation capacity to treat those cases. The difficulty with that approach is that it's open-ended. Basically then don't know when the thing would begin. So we, in the discussion, were quite clear that there needs to be a transfer of cases. The NCAA will stop the investigation, investigate the cases after the decision date. Those cases will be transferred to the community. Because of the problem that you're raising, that's why there's this more elaborate procedure of, in accordance with the procedure to be determined by the minister, in consultation with the Minister of Safety and Security, after consultation with the commissioner and with the national director. So the details of each case could then be worked on. Okay, here's a potential case. Who is investigating? Are they being transferred? If not, who else can take over leading the investigation for that matter? And I don't see how we can get any further than that. Then left up to the actual procedural details, they're going to be left up to the minister.
Those people that are supposed to be to deal with this matter, I would be it affects the people that are dealing with it. If they are saying the Minister of Pastor, Police, and the Minister of Government, if it affects them, I would be dealing with it. Of course, we don't see it. But all the Pastor, they are pushing up, and we are given a vote. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay. I think the point is that the minister will be the minister being affected by the case.
No. Yes. I'm asking if it affects them, if they are affected in the discussion and they are affected by those certain cases, how would they decide?
Well, I'm not aware of either minister being the subject of the investigation. But the issue is the procedure is determined by the Minister of Justice in consultation with the Minister of Safety and Security. So they work out the procedure in each case, and presumably each case would differ. And the issue of the National Director and the Commissioner is an after consultation. If you're worried about the case against the current National Commissioner, they don't have any choice, they have their input, I mean, there's an acting National Commissioner, so it would apply to them. But it's an after consultation, so they will be able to make their input, but the details of the handover could be getting dealt with in terms of the taking of the case basis.
Try to get guidance from Parliament's time.
and then suggest that the interim inspection directorate of relating to those five incident cases, a small group, they simply allay adverse public perception as to what they understand. And I understand this correctly, the prosecutors are recommended to look at something in the report to allay that. Thank you.
There's been endless discussion on this issue. Some of you have been in and some out because especially with the opposition party, you have got your residents in some of the country. And I wasn't in all those discussions, simply just too friendly for a legal issue, not up to the meeting. But basically, we are made clear that whatever happens, the cases that are currently, let's say the 5 to 7 cases, the trust must be affected in a way that does not impede the cases to be prosecuted. I think that's the first thing we hear. In fact, to just abuse people, interestingly, the MP leadership has been constantly saying this for the last, how many months, this is for warning from day one, that the aim is not to undermine the prosecution of cases that are legitimate. Now, in the report, what people say, I don't know what the problem is, J.J. Madhavati and other members, in the report, why don't we say that when it comes to these cases, the 5 or 7 cases, whatever they are, that the personnel that are dealing with this case, as far as possible, should be moved over let's find a way that is consistent with what we have in the legislation. Wouldn't that be a way out? And as I understand it, they have been meeting you were exactly it, so from what I gather, many of these cases, if I'm correct, are close to going to court and so on. So, you know, if there is further investigation required, yes, you can pursue it. That's the normal case. We understand that you also see legal advice to the defense and so on. I think that there has been a lot of discussion in this case. And there are people who are quite likely at this stage raising it. However, some correct your commission has given a lot of time to it, but please explain whether that may be a reasonable way out.
I hear all of what has been said. The next case I want to raise is the sentences, pending cases, the future of and how those cases are going to be dealt with will be decided by politicians. Is that correct? Well, explain to me whether the minister is not a politician.
The minister or the ministers will work out a procedure. Okay. The ministers will work out the procedure. We don't know if it is 5 cases, 4 cases, 3 cases. I mean, the figure of 5 has been mentioned. The detail of they can then work out what procedures should be followed to transfer the cases. So it's not interference. It's a question of on a fixed date the cases get transferred. But how those get done is in terms of then a procedure to be set out by the minister or the two ministers after consulting the national director and the national commissioner. So that procedure could be relating to who is going to handle, who is going to continue with who from the staff is going to continue to investigate the case. Is it somebody who's being transferred over? The only other alternative would have been, you know, just to have simply said, investigations by the directorate for the pending meeting before the fixed day must on the fixed day be transferred to and continued by the DCCI full stop. Putting the provision around the procedure does create more flexibility.
Two questions.
Why are
you just follow? But exactly what my colleague is saying is what I've been saying. Politicians will decide on the procedure. That procedure could be that it will now be dealt with by another arm or another dedicated officers from that point of view. let's say to put a one, let's be practical, the one that we know is one of the sensitive ones that goes to the International Commission. So the minister, the politician can now decide who will continue with that investigation, and they may decide that it's been handed to SAC, to an arm of the South African police. I'm making the point that the putting the future processes in terms of which it will be handled in the hands of politicians.
Look, I mean, as I said, we can put in a full stop immediately after director priority crime investigation. But let me point out that the effect of that is that then how they get worked out. How the transfer takes place is then entirely up to the new director. And if that's what you want, fine, I don't think
will not affect the indications of the director if the DSO can continue.
No, the problem of continuing with the DSO is then when will it end? Which is the case. Can I finish? I mean, we had agreed that we are setting up a new unit to investigate these cases. That director can take over any cases that are still pending, and I'm sure there are a number of cases still pending from various stages, from initial investigation to those that are in fact ready for trial. The directors will be dealing with all future cases and having to take over the existing cases. It's a question of the procedure then allows flexibility to be worked out by the two ministers. But if there's unhappiness with the procedure, well then we can just block the procedure.
I don't think that kind of checking the baby out of the bath also is quite what's being discussed here. We're trying to address very real fears here. I mean, all the way down the line, I was shut down in Victoria when I tried to ask, would you people, meaning the top structure there, in fact, be comfortable investigating the next Jackie Kennedy, which is one of their top structures. And since I'm bringing the DSO, so they've already explained, they asked SAC to come in when they want people to investigate some of their members who they then threw out. Now, we're trying to deal with major cases here, one of which sits right at the heart of the very place you put in this unit. And we're trying to say, right, who's going to investigate this? We've already determined, and Steve is quite right, is it open or isn't it open? It's still a point here we haven't determined. If these members who have been investigating these cases for years and years are now told they're unacceptable to this unit. What? Are you telling me that the people who worked under Jackie Kennedy are going to investigate Jackie Kennedy? I mean, it's just the most bizarre concept. And of course we have Zuma issues, we have Fidesz issues, we have many large cases, and I cannot understand why a very logical out, which was, and you keep saying this will go on forevermore and there's no end. There are surely court dates already on the books that will determine exactly when those cases will be finished, overdone, or to use Jackie's phrase, finish and clock. There we go. I mean, we'll never deal with the issue and we'll shut them down when they finish, transfer them as you have decided will happen.
Yeah, I was thinking when Ms. Kolobana was going in Tsunami. I remember very well when Commissioner Lala said that the police even investigated the rape case against
the ANC president, President Hopkins, the head case was not invisible at the point of themselves. So they had a problem of us saying that there are cases that we think that they won't be able to investigate. But I'm not standing here for the police, but that's the thing. What was said the day when we were in Pretoria. Now you come up with something else, as I said, and there is a code that gives you that this is how you're supposed to conduct your investigation. That is all.
No, Jack, we mustn't begin this before our next meeting with that one. In terms of our aid, in this circumstance, the home information, because sometimes there is a solution, because we don't have a software to be able to do we are saying there mustn't be a crack, there mustn't fall into any crack. In other words, cutting what is investigating law for 15 years. Now, Karim is not being transferred to staff. Then he goes somewhere else. That investigation goes into crack, to follow. Because nobody, a new person, has to set up fresh. It will take another year. That's what I'm looking at. That's why I was talking about sensitive cases. And we're talking about the majority of people, about 33, if I read correctly, there were talking about 33 people, 5 cases, 33 the entry document together with that. They were talking about 30 people, 5 cases, something like that. We are talking about that. We're not particularly saying this case or that case. I don't want to pinpoint ourselves as a parliament to the case as that. But we are talking about the validity of the crime, the Mandinoka.
Yeah, thank you, Barack. But
as appropriate to the law, and that the taking of the transfer
in the report, we also speak about effecting the transitional provision. And this certainly falls under that. And we should maybe add something there, maybe when we go to the report in a moment, to ensure that there is effective oversight. Certainly, JJ, can you help? Is it not the case that there are laws and instructions of things and so on, where you can go for recourse if you feel that the way the transfer is effected was deliberately done in a way to undermine one or other case? Ultimately, this issue of the South African police service doing its job, proceeding against criminals, whoever they may be, it's a matter of this committee has some role to play in this matter. I don't know at this late stage. I can understand the feelings that people have, but it's not as if what people are saying from the opposite side is new, and we've said it repeatedly. This committee is not meant to protect any individual. And I think we should all say that in our report to Parliament and in the speech to the House. And for what it's worth, I know people are skeptical. They are diminishing the great constantly saying that. So, isn't that the way out? I don't know that it's of much value, given the amount of energy and time we have spent on this issue, and given how much it's part of, let's say, a broader, of all kinds, political posturing on the eve of the election and so on. Ultimately, Parliament represents the people, must defend the interests of the people in respect of the SAPS and the new units not playing a particular role. Then we have provided for an independent complaint mechanism as well. Presumably, one of the issues that could be raised with this independent complaint mechanism, if there's a case to be heard in this regard, is that one or other case has not been proceeded with in the way it should. I honestly think, quite frankly, that we will not agree on the precise wording of the relevant clause, and if people are feeling that the latter part of that particular provision was shaped by the technical community and only for last night is a problem, I think let's follow.
Police have been doing anything, and then there is another front of somewhere.
they can do better than the police. I gave you a lot of points. Because I don't think that the work doesn't be done by the police. Is there any other flight that doesn't have the type of the job that the officer is done by the police? People are thinking about the copious savings and the yes, I think that's happening this morning. We need to respect the police. These police are our South African police. They are talking about our great crime in South Africa. They are investigating Qatar, they have been doing that. And then the law will embrace everybody, irrespective whether you. They will take their own people in prison. Why should we have special people about that? Thank you.
Okay.
Sir, I didn't
ask,
I do have a technical problem, and that is at the moment the provision here transfers the cases to the DPCI. But I think it's clear that none of the investigators will be in the DPCI on that day because the selection process will not have been completed. And so I am concerned practically about what happens to cases when the if the selection process has not been completed on the fixed day when.
I think the problem on the fixed date issue, if you look at the APA goal, it's fixed date means the date is determined by the prison by proclamation. Thank you. that's sort of it. I think that clearly we need to look at the lunch break.
Quickly go to the reported stuff we really need to do, because much of it is from previous reports adopted on the draft 2. Okay. Much of it is in fact in the previous reports, more than half of it, that we've already adopted from the different models, right? The introduction is very important, public participation, that's clear. Just go through it, please. We're going to reconvene at 4:30 or thereabouts. And then if you want to add anything, but it's a 6:35 set of votes, and we should have in get from the committee operation for how many people participate in the funding game. And then the proposed new criminal justice system and the initial hearings that are underway, the money is not being made available, the caution of Puebla. Can you contact the district that you could be the meeting tomorrow, check with the other chairs at 1 o'clock to discuss further the program for the provincial public hearings on the criminal justice system. Then our visit to the DHO and staff, then processing the vote. The research student and content advisor presented before the library submission. We drew in two representatives each from the NPA and the DSO, or the SAPS, and two technical advisors, and we took our appreciation for their participation. And because the vote is highly contested 4.3 and polarized the committee, we decided to see if we can more clearly identify areas of agreement and disagreement, and that is covered in section 5 and 6 below. We accept that the SAP amendment bill is not easier to read necessarily, and that's because it's amending an existing act. The committee's 4.5 sort of balance between providing a firm framework and not being too prescriptive. The finalization of this bill, as we repeatedly said, is seen as part of a process of shaping a new model. And the new model will have to be reviewed in terms of about 3 years from now, or 3 years from the time of promulgation, to consider what improvements, if any, are necessary. So, first of all, let me point out this first draft was sent to you in the earlier draft this morning. The only person who came back is obviously she hasn't gone alive. She's Carol Thompson. So, she made some amendments. I don't think it's appropriate, but one sort of amendment she made, I just want to ask the committee to approve. She made an amendment to our original report. And I thought it wasn't a thing to do, but on reflection, maybe it's a good point she made. It's not in our original report on the 30th of September, but I'll just direct you to it. On 5.3, on the role of prosecutors, she's saying, because this panned out to be what really happened. It says the prosecutor should be involved in the investigation from the outset. The differences of how this should happen, and she adds, and whether or not their involvement should be institutionalized in the legislation. So if you want to have a word to dispose of this, and whether or not their involvement should be institutionalized in the legislation. So you can say that you can decide whether you want to throw it out before that. Is that agreeable or you want to kick it out? So that's how it stands out. And 5.11 she adds, you see, on the need for a complaints mechanism, she said the view was also expressed that the proper complaints mechanism would act as a safeguard against political and or improper influence. This is, and I think that makes it clear on the work of the OCU. Surely that's straightforward. So is that agreeable? I think it is agreeable if people say nothing. It's an interesting adding, right? And the next is actually what's in the models, and please, those of you who are committed to a particular novel or a lot of Baba novels, you can add anything you want. But we've tried to summarize exactly what we want. In fact, that didn't summarize, we've literally taken word for word. All I did was, well, all we did was repaint. And so nothing's changed. Now, when we come to model 3, simply because it's the bill, this is 6.5. We simply said the first to the problem. On model 4 of the ANC rainfall, we simply said that the model is in the version of the bill we are voting on. And we show the differences between what was in the original. Look at 6.6. And look at the bullet point. All we've done is we said this is the bill. But to emphasize the substantial improvements we made on the bill that came to Parliament, we say that the new unit will be located within the SAP.
now there's a much better balance between being independent and being part of the FATF. So we don't replicate the problems we have between the DSO and the FATF. Unlike in the original bill, where the head of the unit was meant to be a divisional commissioner accountable to a national deputy commissioner, his internal accountable to a commissioner, so now said, no, the head of the unit will be a deputy national commissioner, and as you heard earlier, appointed by the minister subject to cabinet approval, as is the case with all senior managers in the public service. In the original bill, the head of the unit couldn't initiate cases, basically. Everything had to go to a national commission to discuss. Something wrong with the bureaucratic nightmare. So now we said the head of the unit can initiate cases within a policy framework instead of seeking the approval of the national commission for every case, and in the key section 7D1A of the current bill. There's also, moreover, much greater recognition of the complex and specialized nature of organized crime, and the need, therefore, for the unit to be able to tackle such crime in a complex and specialized way. The definition of priority crime means organized crime is clearer, and the multidisciplinary approach and integrated methodology of the new unit is emphasized much more clearly in the relevant text you say. Provision is also made, nothing in the role of the bill papers, we've not said no whatever effective cabinet coordination, unlike a forum that may exist or not, it must, but I mean, what does a forum mean? And we've definitely provided for a very good provision, a set of provisions on interdepartmental coordination to ensure that the multidisciplinary approach works. We provided for more effective parliamentary oversight, security, senior incidents, integrity measures have been strengthened, the transitional mechanisms have been strengthened. So some aspects have been moved to the APA amendment bill because they relate to the personnel issues. There's our independent complaint mechanism, and a new one will have to be reviewed within 3 years. Overall, the FATF Act 7.1, the FATF Act needs to be overall, in total for many years, it's going to happen after year so. In processing this bill, the committee was once again struck by the urgent need to revamp the staff act. There were some aspects of the thesis of the new year that the committee supported that could not be put into legislation without having to overhaul the entire FATF Act. 7.3, the bill provides for an independent complaint mechanism. The committee feels that there is a need to consider whether it's necessary to have an inspector general for staff as a whole. Certainly the committee is clear that the ICD is ineffective and needs to be substantially improved. We might well be necessary to have a separate legislation for it, ICD, instead of including it in the SAP Act as it goes ahead. So I can just put that down. All people are looking at version 2 here, because these things are put more in. In the order of the SAP Act, consideration often needs to be given to a single effective independent combination to deal with SAP as a whole. And the committee urges the ministry to bring the new version of staff back to Parliament within 12 months, which might not change at 6 months. That's a matter of fact. I mean, they say the security committee is decided by 4 centuries. Issues of conflict of interest arose, and the two MPs didn't participate, and we felt, the majority of us, that the committee does not have jurisdiction to decide on this matter, and could not take precedent for Parliament as a whole. We propose that within 2 years of the new term of Parliament, the Speaker's Office of the Rules Committee provide greater clarity on what precisely constitutes a conflict of interest for MPs beyond financial issues. Effective parliamentary oversight, the committee's committed to ensuring effective oversight, to develop an effective oversight program within 3 months of the new parliamentary term. The committee will consider reports from the new interest policy monitoring of that at least 4 meetings a year. The committee will, in cooperation with justice and constitutional development, closely monitor the transitional provisions, work in progress, and explain the new organized crime fighting unit shaped in this model should be seen as part of a process of creating a powerful and effective model to prevent and combat violent crime. It can, of course, necessarily be improved on over time. Aspects of it can be reviewed in deep context, depending overall on the whole Traps Act. The finalization of the new proposed integrated criminal justice system, and certainly, of course, to review it in 3 years that the bill requires of the minister to be followed. The majority in the committee feels, we say the majority because we know that our party is going to be necessary, feels that the new unit should be given a chance to develop and
was supporting the initiative, was here to ensure that the new unit becomes powerful and effective. And so Shanty reduces the extent of organized crime and corruption as part of our overall fight against crime or terrorism. The new thing that we're coming based on this morning, Steve Scott is going to do a provision of the NIDC. We need to do that. Yeah, I think that we have that. Can people know what my son is here to try to put it in? And I'll put that now in bold and I can answer this in the new thing. The Ministerial Committee must meet as often as possible. Time that you can do something. Then on the issue of cases, I think it's more than ethically what we will say. I'll count that, but if people want to add, they're welcome to do that. On 17K, the OCC has also been, yes, we can put down more about that. Tie on the important cases, maybe you want to come as well. Well, that's covered. 17K, National Commission, I'm not sure what it is. But if we agree to anything to see, you've got all of those. Can you do this, just bullet pointing for me after the draft thing where I just want to know what it is? Having said that, in your absence, I did point out, Ms. Johnson, that you were the only person that came back with draft one to take out the 23 this morning. Obviously, the 23 is going to have enough. So, we thank you. Yeah. Anyway, so having said that, can we go back to Albert on the board of health council? As I understand it, we could postpone this report to tomorrow, in which case we'd have to say that we accept the Whit amendment and report will follow. But Mr. Malabola points out it might be better just to adopt this report. And then the Safety and Security Committee, even in this 48 hours, you want to add further things. You can always cover this. The office can make up the second report, say, in addition to the report, there are first things that are trying to say. The office can help us, what's the rule? We've done that in justice, but I don't know. Okay, page and a half. So that one we can do very quickly. There's nothing.
those are the two documents you should have together with the draft that we worked on this morning. Could I just say that we want to apologize that, particularly to Dr. Delport, that we were only able to give you these amendments now than we were able to give them to you this morning. Chairperson, then, if we take the amendments to the SAPS bill, these three pages, some of them were additional typos that you could see, but I want to go to number six. So the other ones are all wording, not committee for safety and security, but committee on safety and security, and not capital I for institutions, small I. So if you look at six, that was the issue of the entrapment. That is on page five. That is clause 8A on page 5 of 17B, and that is the one we discussed, which the measures by the minister, which may include random entrapment testing for the abuse of alcohol and drugs, etc. The next one on that is under C, changing that section so that page 5, 8C, the minister shall prescribe measures to ensure the confidentiality of information obtained for integrity testing if such measures are prescribed in terms of paragraph 8. I think with the shells and the must, I think the SAPSA Act refers to shell, that they both mean the same. It's the amendment, this one. It says amendment by the Committee for Safety and Security and Justice and Constitutional Development. You've been given it now, okay, so you should have that. And then referring to the SAPS bill that we had this morning. And I was just linking the two. But that's basically affecting the changes that the committee wanted on those integrity measures. Then the next one is page 9, sorry, point 9 on the committee amendment section. That's page 6. And that is regarding the meeting point that came up earlier, the meeting of the Cabinet Committee. So 3A would now read, the Ministerial Committee shall oversee the functioning of the Directorate, and then we would add, and shall meet as regularly as necessary. Okay. Then on the following page on the Operational Commission, that's number 11, we've included the Director General of Finance, and we've also included the Commissioner of the South African Revenue Service as people who would be who would comprise the Operational Committee. There's also further discussion this morning. And the reason would be renumbering. Then on number 14, on page 2 of the committee amendment, that's about now page 7, 17K4, affecting those changes to removing procedures. So we can read the minister shall submit to Parliament any policy guidelines referred to, and then sub 5 becomes policy guidelines referred to in 17I, 2A, B, and C, submitted for approval to Parliament that are not approved within 3 months of submission shall be deemed to be approved. Then, number 17, page 8, where we didn't want under sub 5, we didn't want it to be a closed list, so it would be the retired judge shall, on receipt of a complaint, investigate such a complaint or refer it to be dealt with by, we're adding the word, amongst others. Then, as far as the issue that came up of the support, the new clause or 12, if we go to the bottom of the section on the retired judge, that's 17L, the minister shall ensure that the retired judge has sufficient personnel and resources to fulfill his or her function. Alright. Now the next more substantial one is number 23, which is under the transitional provision. There is a new paragraph A, and the rest of it is coming first. Any word or expression and request in respect of which the specific meaning has been assigned by the SAP Act has the same meaning. That's a more legal technical provision. And then it's the same goes with the remaining B, A and B become D and C. Then the clause that Professor Thiel spoke about linking effectively between the two bills for as long as the remuneration allowances and other conditions of service of those transferred to the SAP under section 43A2 of the National Prosecuting Authority Act of 1998 are more favourable than those determined under section G of this Act, section 43A3 of the NPA Act prevails, and the section would be renumbered. We've referred to it as the NPA Act because this section in this bill that we're passing, or the NPA bill, is going to be section 43A2 of the NPA Act. I've just got Professor Cheadle.
It should be 43A3.
Okay, 43A3. Are you sure? That's not 6A. Not 4.
No.
Okay.
What to? I said the new subsection 2. The old two become three. So, the cross reference is three. Those are people who are to be transferred.
Mr. Thompson, have you looked at the NPA amendment that has come?
Yes, I'm looking at it at the moment.
So, you're wanting to cross reference it to as from the fixed date, any person who is a special investigator is transferred.
And B.
And B.
That's the substance.
Is that the correct section? Okay. All right. So, Chairperson, those are the amendments. No, that is the
Okay, wait. Can you just get some clarity on some changes to the bill? And this is part of it. We can't vote on a bill unless we understand everything. We had a political mandate we gave you, which is given that people look only at this bill without looking at the NPA bill, can you explain how you're dealing with issues like concerns about consent and so on? That we deleted one of the bills and we put it into the NPA Act. We said cross reference. How do you know that exactly?
The cross reference is really incorporated in four, in the sense that the remuneration amounts and other conditions are more favourable. So you would then go to 43A3 and find out who and what way we can transfer. So it seems to me that there's a link here. This clause does two things. It cross refers to the NPA Act, and number two, resolves potential conflict between 17G, which gives the power to determine the terms and conditions of employment of the new unit to the platform fee services.
and the residual of the transitional provisions in the NPA Act, which states that they cannot be transferred on terms on the whole list of payments. So it cheats two purposes. It does a cross-reference and which resolves a potential conflict. But the potential conflict is only resolved really in the sense of Twilight Zone. This provision only lasts until such time as the terms and conditions have remuneration in particular and allowances have been brought into life. And it was discussed
yeah, we just want to check and be clear because we don't. You see, Mozilla has to come up and say that work. If there's anything wrong, come to the two chairs. We want to be clear. Let's say CSFEs. So this is what we're all agreeing on. Can you do it involved in Friday? That's fine. Okay, that's what we're going to do. This is our job. Thank you.
Very quick because we've gone through it before. So
One doesn't change, hasn't changed. Two hasn't changed. That's the new subsection that I suggested we introduce this morning. And three is the old two. And the changes we've seen are Andrew's consensus. Four remains the same as this morning. Five remains the same as this morning, except it's taken out of Roman numeral 3. So in other words, there's a choice really between in the public service. And what we've added is all state institutions. So on the top of the page, if we just look at that wording, so after consultation with the minister and the cabinet members responsible, to transfer the employee to a reasonable alternative postal position in any government department, that's what we've got. But we added all state institutions, because part is a state institution, and the public service act doesn't apply to them, and so they would have to resign and then be reappointed. And that's really what you want to avoid. And we would have to have a whole complicated set of provisions to deal with that. So therefore, what we suggested is, if they transfer to the state institution in accordance with subsection 3B and C, and 3B and C should be 4B and C. So that is the consequences. And then section 14 of the Public Service Act shall, unless the context indicates otherwise, apply to such a transfer. So in other words, section 14, which deals with transfer from one department to another, doesn't apply to a transfer from a department to a special entity. Right. And so what we're really doing now is basically putting sections and expanding the application of section 14 to another. The provision in section 14 that we're talking about is that you can only transfer with the consent of the executive authority of the department to which you are transferring. So you need all those section 14 mechanisms in order to effect a transfer. So it's not transferring straight to SARS without SARS themselves agreeing to the transfer. So the only additional wording there is all state institutions, and then the slightly restructured reference to section 14 or application section 14 to this transfer in order to avoid the resignation and employment process. And then really everything remains the same in relation to C, D, and E, deals with the automatic termination if you don't accept any of the above, and then you have an employment seventh package, which is no less than the employee shared civil status determined by the minister under the Public Service Act. And then F, the previous reference was to the bargaining council, you remember I suggested that we just go straight to the labour court, and the reason for that is the bargaining council and the CCMA deal with misconduct and incapacity dismissal, retrenchment dismissal, go to the labour court. And that accordingly, that any dispute arising from interpretation or application of this section in respect to part employee or concern must be referred to the labour court in determination. So an employee is unhappy, they just need a non-reasonable alternative personal position, will then go to the labour court and argue the issue. They would pay, the seventh pay that's been stipulated here, they should go to the labour court.
Sorry, isn't it between 2 and 1 and 2, shouldn't that 4 come back now? So between 1 and, sorry, between the D, 5D, between sub 1 and sub 2, the 4 would come back. It got left out because there was an issue of there was going to be a third one. And through you, Chair, then I don't know if Professor Teagle can take us through all of them, or you just wanted to refer to that. But the other one was, and then I think we can come back, that number 9 is the pending cases, investigations by the Director of Special Operations that are pending immediately before the fixed date. must on that day be transferred to and continued by the DPCI in accordance with the mechanism to ensure that the investigation is not prejudiced by the transfer. The Minister of Justice in consultation with the cabinet member should be cabinet member of safety and security, and after consultation with the National Director and National Commissioner must determine the mechanism referred to in paragraph A. And then the other new one is 11, which is also a transition provision. Any investigation that was instituted under section 28, that's the inquiry powers by the DSO, all steps taken as a result of such investigation shall be deemed to have been instituted or taken in consequence of the application of 17D3, the SAP Act, the head of the DPCI may at any time after the fixed date withdraw request to do such an investigation, and B, the National Director and designated director in respect of each investigation referred to in paragraph A, who must assist the DPCI in carrying out such an investigation. So, Chair, those are the changes that were made.
Thank you very much, one of the great days. And now that we are fully exposed and staying with the head.
Oh. Yeah, I wonder if I might just ask on the minister. Okay, we're looking at 5.32. You are very specific about the time of employment to a reasonable alternative post or position. And that has to be acceptable. But I don't understand why you don't include that phrase when you refer to 3A. There's no guarantee of a reasonable alternative or post that are being transferred to. Do you understand?
As I understand it, the transfer to SAPS would be a transfer into SAPS, the same or your terms and conditions and your status as an investigator. And it's not an offer of a reasonable alternative. There's no offer. You are either consenting to go in or you're not. And if you're not, then there are two offers that are made. One offer is to a reasonable alternative in elsewhere in the public service or in state entity, or in the NPA but not as an investigator. Now the reason for the offer is that you've got to offer a reasonable alternative before you can terminate somebody's employment. And if you refuse both those offers, then you're entitled, then what will happen is the contract will be terminated and will be entitled to the And so they're all consensual, but the offer, the two offers in time, are precedent to a termination to that accept. If you go into the SAPS, you're consensual to go in, and you would go in. As I say, you retain all that because you're going into an investigating institution. So you would go through as an investigator and you'd be placed somewhere else. And as a point I made earlier, that you couldn't be appointed to that. That's one of the issues taken from the London Verity. It's a question of the motion from your terms and conditions. You could only be employed.
Thank you, Chair. Why do we need to put in 11A? Why do we have to get the head of the directorate of power to withdraw a request to pursue such an investigation? Why is that?
Chair,
may I
ask you that?
Yes.
This is the first time that I find it not. that the head or the new directorate may at any time after the future date withdraw a request to pursue such an investigation. In Afrikaans, we say no on the local book. Now we see what it's all about.
Can I just get clarity on that? I mean, is this the very clause that was requested by Mr. Hofmeyer, clause 11, was not in the bill? Because I think he was concerned that there may be issues regarding the legality of those investor section 28 inquiries. Maybe you could let Mr. Hofmeyer speak.
I think what we're trying to do is to ensure that the things that were done in the past are protected, so that the evidence gathered in terms of Section 28 powers in the past are admissible, that there's no legal disputes about that. And clearly, in a number of the DSO investigations, Section 28 powers are not going to be necessary for the future. The police will be able to do an investigation in terms of normal policing power. So our suggestion was that rather than saying, which was the existing scheme of the Act, that all inquiries seem to die and that they would have to be reinstituted, that one makes it clear that the inquiries keep going, but that the DPCI will then be able to discuss which ones they need the Section 28 powers, which ones not. And for the ones where the powers are not needed, one can then terminate the formal DPCI, the normal inquiry process, because simply police powers would be enough in those cases. I don't think that this is an issue about impacting on some cases or other cases. I think it's more technical issue of just ensuring that for those cases where one is still going to want to use Section 28 powers, that there's a seamless transition from the old inquiry to the new inquiry. You know, that you don't have to reinstitute an inquiry when there are questions about what was done or not done in terms of the old inquiry, whether it was legally done, not legally done, who is the person who exercised the powers.
Sorry, I did not follow it at all. I would need more clarification. It says any investigation that's been instituted under Section 28, that I would do. And then it says, I'm deemed to have been taken terms of the new section, but the head of the new direct, may at any time withdraw the group to pursue such an investigation. Under Section 28. I don't see, please explain it to me how that would protect the DSO from whatever. Or I read in this, and maybe I'm just plain stupid, I suppose I am. But all I see in this is that the new, head of the new director can stop something that originated in the Section 28
Let me translate. I think in the new DPCI there would be a large number of cases where one does not need the interrogation under oath power. It would be a limited number of cases. It doesn't mean those cases where you don't need the powers that you are not going to investigate. When we talk about investigation, yes, it's simply whether it is an investigation in terms of Section 28 of the NPA Act, which is required when you want to do the interrogation under that sort of intrusive power. At the moment, DSO investigations, because of the structure of the Act, the DSO investigations do not have full police power, if I may call it. They do everything, whether it's a search or whatever other step they do under Section 28. So in the new dispensation, that will not be necessary.
not necessary to have a declared investigation in terms of Section 28. So as the cases are transferred, there will be, I think, at least half, if maybe even more of the cases, where those powers, the intrusive Section 28 powers, are not required anymore. So what's envisaged here would be that instead of the BPCI, instead of going through the whole list of cases and saying these are the ones where I want to start now a Section 28 inquiry, can be saying these ones are the ones where we don't need to invoke those powers. And we're really putting it that way around to ensure that there's not a gap in the exercise of the power, that there's, you know, that there's a seamless process of transferring the cases where the power has been exercised to the new unit. The word pursue may not be the best word to use there, but you know, I think we've done this in a bit of a rush now. I have suggested that we should at least get counsel just to look at some of these provisions to make sure that we're not leaving any gaps. But I don't think this is a controversial suggestion. It's simply to try and suggest that there's a seamless process of handling.
Look, we on this issue we explained in the morning that there isn't, you may not want to believe this, but then you are right not to use opposition and so on. But there's not a difference in what we want to do. No case should be impeded in any way. We made that clear. Now, I would like how Chino's coming, because you, this bill is a justice bill, right? So, can you amplify on what William said, and can we reassure, Dr. Hopper is a lawyer after all. I mean, we're not lawyers. Can't we just clarify and tweak the words if we have to? Because on this issue, there isn't a difference. So, can I ask Helton to speak? Yeah, JJ to speak.
If I can just hop in first, and that was with the issue of the word pursue. If you look at page 4, 17D, number 3, that relates to the ongoing power that the DPCI will have with regard to Section 28. And the word that is used there is conduct. So I want to suggest that we change the pursue, and maybe people can comment on it. We change the word pursue to conduct. So 17D3 refers to the head of the directorate requesting the national director to designate a director to conduct an investigation, and if we then in the NCA thing made any time after the 6 days withdraw a request to conduct such an investigation. It's for the reasons that Billy has been said that maybe conduct is consistent with what is in the statute.
Adrian has just suggested it may make it clearer if we also just talk about an investigation in terms of Section 28 of the NCA Act.
So
I think
the
add
it at the end of
it. No, it's not the end.
It's not particularly necessary.
No, let's
on this one, let's just do it. Because, I mean, you know, Dr. Delport did misunderstand, and, you know, he's a lawyer, and we really want to assure you that others didn't know. There really is no. And you see, in fairness to me, ultimately now, this is the justice stuff. You see, ultimately, although JJ took private responsibility, which we are eternally grateful, and we shall be announcing the reward he's going to get, which is appointment as the head of this OCU, which is what he's driving you, let me tell you publicly, I really don't think I here feel comfortable either. So I agree with what Willie, you seem to be saying. I would like Alton Chilu to come in, I'd like Christine to come in, the lawyers in particular, Carol, etc. So that we clear, the politics is clear, the policy is clear. At this stage, we don't want to, at the last minute, we can wait 6 to 15 minutes, won't kill anybody. Right. Willie, you want to speak? Helton, Christine, Carol, Christine, and then we come back to Len. Len, you want to ask a question before? Maybe we ask, can you take your question first? Let's take your question first.
We'll reassure you that nothing.
Thank you for the assurance. Story funny to me, and I still don't understand exactly, because reading it as it is, I get the impression that they can't stop anything that has been transferred from the DSA to that.
Well,
along the line, let's have all of it together and you sort of that out. We're instructing you to sort it out. Yeah, go ahead.
Isn't that normal in both within the broader framework of an investigation? Now, any investigation can be stopped. And that's my problem.
Yeah.
Any investigation where that power is being invoked can be stopped. So, to start off with any investigation is misleading. Then you say, where power is in terms of section 28 to be requested, whatever, that can be, the exercise thereof can be stopped. But not the investigation of which it is
part. Right. Helton, William Helton, Carol Christine.
I think we can look at the wording, but I think what we have to remember is that previously the DSO would have used section 28 to conduct the search. It will no longer be necessary to have a section 28 investigation merely to do a search. The police will be able to do a search in terms of the powers they have already. So if you have a case where the what I call the really intrusive power, the cross-examination of a witness under oath, has never happened, and there's no need for it to happen, there would not be need for the case to remain a formal inquiry with the DPP and the NPA assigned to work with the police. Could we make the case that that's only needed in the use of the really intrusive power? The normal search procedures, those things can be done in terms of normal police powers now. So it's not going to do a lot of good to say those kind of cases where you're not using the examination on the oath means to remain a formal, not just an investigation with a new unit, but also an investigation in terms of section 28. So I think that's why the wording here is that it's very mindful. For a number of cases, there will be no need for them to remain an investigation under section 28. They will just remain an investigation, a normal police investigation. So we would not be proposing this if we had a fear that, you know, it would have an adverse effect on all this. It's really a way to ensure that technically we don't have gaps for those cases where we want it to be clear that the section 28 will continue. We don't need it for all cases, so we do need some sort of escape clause, if I may call it that, for those cases where the section 28
I don't think they think, if I'm correct, that they don't understand what you're seeking to do. I think their question is what you got in 11 precisely clear? Isn't that the point? Yeah. Now, at that point, we can sort that thing out. We can pull up two reports to quickly go through, and we can even bring, ask your four to just go and sort it out and come back. But before we do, how does Carol Christie?
That's
me, Martin. No, but you're a professor of law or whatever. Do you want the question? You teach legal drafting. Can you have the attention of the cable away for them? But you want to confirm it.
I'm
Well, that's the way I read it.
But Kelly, it might well be made clearer.
Yeah. That's what we wanted to do. You don't seem happy, we would like you to be happy, really. We know you're unhappy about the model, but on this thing, we are not seeing anything on the hand.
Instead, what about this? May any time after the 6 days withdraw that a request?
Okay. You don't look happy now, you guys. We want happiness. It's the last moment of happiness and the first one in the entire 10 weeks.
Maybe I can just ask you, we are saying there's a leading to the point, so whether it makes sense to refer to the withdrawal of such a request, I think it's probably okay, because there's been a leading that there has been a
request. You know, it's possible to also make a leading,
whether
we
will.
Whether we
leave
it yet?
You hear me now?
Whether we really need that bus stop, would it really make any difference? The DCCI is in control of the process in any event, so they don't have a heavy exercise of style if they're not needed. And I think this may be the confusing part. If we take out all of this from bus, would that make a difference in practice?
Yeah, I think the difficulty there is because those powers are exercised by a director of the MTA, there could be potential confusion. So I think that's why they are there. But I would still want to say, what about, as I said, may any time after the 6 days or such a request?
That should also help.
I like what JJ is offering, but hey, I'm not a lawyer. Okay. Yeah, I really don't be confused, then let's not help. I know, I'm teasing you, of course you're not. Anything to say? Well, just be upfront. What are we hiding here? Why are we so deceptive? And remember, you're not deceiving Del Corte, but you're deceiving the chairperson of the Del Corte. Why are you trying to deceive me? Explain.
Chairperson, it's actually quite straightforward. I think, I do think it's maybe not quite straightforward. The bottom line really is that in future, if the head of the new unit, if the new unit wants to make use of Section 28 powers, they have to request it from the NDPP. So basically, you want two elements. You want, and maybe if you split into yourself, you want the deeming provision to say that if anybody uses Section 28 in future, it will be deemed to have been requested. And then you want the part that says, if the head of the unit so requests, then obviously he may want to withdraw. The Section 28 is but one procedural step of a bigger investigation. And I think maybe you should just clarify that.
Do you want to say anything? The lawyer, all the lawyers, can it be clear?
I think
the
proposal at least makes it simple. Yes, because I'm sitting here thinking to say, as the lawgiver, our intention should be to understand ourselves for other people to understand us.
Lawyer and senior content advisor to the side.
What are you trying to hide?
Alright, now this is a non-lawyer. Okay, so what have we decided then? What have we decided, Hilton?
Okay, I have to go now, but after I think this is clearly a solution on what I
did. Okay, so we'll come back to that, okay?
That's done. We've done with the NPA amendment move for now. We come back to it.
Yes, could be. Let's quickly go through it. All the points that have subsequently been made to the consideration around 2 o'clock and 2:15 about maybe 1.2. Obviously, to make full sense of this report, you have to look at the other report as well. Now, on the number of people, the figure we've been given is 7,200 people were in the provincial hearing, 190 accepted. So we just said over 7,000 people. Okay? Just to say over 7,000, close to 7,500, but it's sort of passing over, it's over 7,000 people participated. And then we want to add at least 190 hours of sitting. That, the way we worked it out is the number of days we sat and the number of hours we averaged. We often sat for up to 6 to 7 hours, but we just averaged it 6 hours. When it came to the provincial public hearing, what we did was we said there were two groups. On average, the justice study group, being who we are, you'll say, ladies, spent about 5 hours in sitting, and the other group spent about three and a half hours. So that's how we worked it out. But if you really want, we will give you a full report on this. But we're saying at least 190 hours in formal sittings, and many, many more hours in informal sittings. And then, Carol, you, while you're away, they accepted all your changes, but one of them comes from Carol, 4.1. She points out the report is very comprehensive. So 4.1, we added that. Then the point that Carol made, we seem to be accepted these people by silence, etc., is 5.3. The differences over the role of prosecutors are how this should happen and the extent and form of institutionalization in legislation. The other one that came from Carol this morning was 5.11. She said another thing that's absolutely correct. We should put in that the complaint mechanism is partly as a safeguard against any political violence in the OCU. And then the rest of it remains the same. I don't see any changes until we come to, yeah, this is a change I've verbally communicated this morning, 6.6 on page 8. It now is the head of the unit is appointed not as a divisional commissioner, but under the national energy commission. You know, that was the original silly bill that the executive gave us. Now, the ministry here, the safety and security people, is it correct to say in 7.1, the ministry has for several years now, is that correct? Been promising to overhaul the original task force. Several years now, is that correct? Mm-hmm. To take out the question mark, it has been for several years now. And then we go to page 7.4 now. Here, I know safety and security. 1 6 months within the new term. And some of us trials say, you know, the 6 months, give me the 12 months, say, this is your call, maybe the 12, okay. So we leave it as 12. Now, here are the new ones, effective parliamentary oversight. Some of this will fall away because of the actual amendments to the bill, and some of it might more usefully go to the NPA report, but I think just leave it here for now. Now, 9.3 is the Bulalani one. The invitation to the head of the unit will be sent through the SAP National Commissioner, who would also be encouraged to attend these meetings, but should he or she not be available, the committee will continue with the meetings. Is this still necessary, or does that come up with the line? You come up. Okay, so shall we keep that there? Then the next point is 9.4. While recognizing that the implementation of aspects of the transitional provisions of the bill are the prerogative of the executive, notice in DABA, there are aspects that have to be monitored by Parliament
And within the existing parliamentary rules of law, the committee will, in cooperation with the Justice Committee, closely monitor the implementation of the relevant transitional provisions. Okay? We have a job in Parliament. Then 9.5. Now, this is a Steve Swart thing, and I think there was some grammatical glitch. I don't know if Steve 9.5, to see if this is correct. The committee feels that the pending applications for security clearances of the DSO staff who have to move to the new unit that are being dealt with in terms of Section 2A of the National Strategic Act by the APA should be completed by the NIA. It's not a very elegant sentence, but it will survive. Thank you.
I just want to provide that in. You recommended the pending application.
Okay, shall we accept it? Yeah, it's fine. We understand what we're saying, yeah? I hope. Okay, 9.6. Now, this may fall away given the amendments we've made, but I don't see why we shouldn't just leave it there. But that's left to the majority. The committee is clear that no person, whatever his or her station, no colonel, is above the law. And the transfer of cases from the DSO to the new unit must be effected in a way that does not undermine the processing of cases which are legitimate. Do we still want this or what?
Well, I just asked the same not imply that they are, that they actually have been processing cases which are not legitimate.
Yes, the legitimacy will be, I don't know what you're going to say. The reason I just my choice of words, simply we can find another wording. In other words, if the cases are pursued and it's found there's no legitimate case, then you don't pursue it, because your further inquiry or investigation will tell you this is not a case you want to prosecute. It's in that sense that it was used, but it was done about 10 past 4, and you can find, or anybody else can find, appropriate wording, use it. Otherwise, it's not the end of the world, we can just drop it. Otherwise, processing of cases, we can just drop it there. Yeah, okay, fine. Let's drop it. Is that okay? Good. Then the final one, now this is the Steve Swart one. I'm not sure whether he's going to do this anymore. I don't think he do, Steve. Consideration needs to be given to finding a way to give the user staff a sense of whether they are likely to be accepted in the new unit before they move into SAPS. Is this not necessary enough? That's been addressed, is what Yeah. And very carefully, because consideration needs to be given, so it has limited meaning. Aren't you covered to a significant degree? Meaning you haven't got everything you want, but neither have I.
Yeah, I think our concern is still that our reading of the Act is that the selection process must take place after the transfer. And I thought the suggestion was that somewhere there must be an indication that it's open. I mean, that the policy decision can be made later.
Wait a minute, can somebody find JJ? He just disappeared without me. No. Jeremy, do you want to look for JJ's people?
I think the problem here is that, as is quite rightly surmised by Willie and pointed out by Steve, that if a member is transferred and then finds themselves in a position where they're not accepted by the unit, they're then obviously going to ask for a package or something which may then be refused to them because they were supposed to, by law, apply for it before the transfer. So they put into a package.
According to how many you remember this morning, that wouldn't apply. In other words, the labour law would cover that person. That person would be entitled to it.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I asked him to say, but yes, JJ. JJ, 9.7 in our report says consideration to be given finding a way to give DSO staff a sense of whether they are likely to be accepted into the unit before they move into staff. Now, the Willie says that's still not covered.
If we not say, we suggest that as far as possible, we are going to look at the selection process in the state place before the transfer. Now that's as far as possible, because at this stage, it's not going to be the case, but at least it is an indication from outside.
Yeah,
I think that's the way I
is that okay? Okay. Just word it, give it to me, please. In handwriting, legible handwriting. Is it okay? That's done with. Then I want to suggest a new 10.2 that when these reviews take place, that this report be seen.